This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
The Single Mom Podcast, Episode 65. In today's episode, I interview Rachel, a new mom to the whole single mom gig, whose situation is a little bit unique and different than what we, most of us single moms, go through. Rachel was not the primary caregiver for her child, her husband was. And after a separation, she had to figure out this whole single mom thing and figure out how to be the primary caregiver too.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents on Demand, a network of high-quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes on the go.
This is the Single Mom Success Podcast. Our mission is to help single moms find advice, support, ideas, and hopefully some humor along the way to help them navigate through this crazy single parenting gig and build the most amazing lives for themselves and their children. Please be sure to stop by thesinglemomblog.com for more great articles, free downloads, giveaways, and more. Now, let's dive in. Hey everybody, welcome to the Single Mom Podcast. I'm so happy today to bring Rachel Scott on as my guest. She is the single mom of an 18-month-old little one. And we decided to do this podcast because of her sort of unique perspective as a single mom. So Rachel, I'm so glad to have you here. Welcome. And thank you so much for joining me. And let's dive in. So you are just recently a single mom. Very, very recent. So kind of give me a little bit of background of, you know, whatever you're willing to share about how long you've been, just starting into this little foray into single parenting and how that came to be. And again, share whatever you're comfortable with sharing with
you. Of course. Yeah. So I am, I guess, now almost 3 months into being a single mother. So very new at this whole thing.
Very new. Yeah.
There was a whole domestic violence issue in my household. And so me and my daughter got out, thank goodness.
Yeah.
And so now I'm living with my parents, which is great and all. For that, I'm with my parents. So, so now it's, I mean, very freshly new, going from being a full-time breadwinner, 9-to-5 woman to parent and breadwinner.
Right. Right. So there's a lot to unpack there in just that first few sentences. So,
yeah.
So you had a domestic violence issue, which thankfully you were able to get you and your daughter out. If I remember correctly, your husband was he military?
Yes, he's prior military. He did about 5.5 years in the Army.
Okay, all right. And that it's believed that the issues were from some PTSD and issues revolving around his service.
It was PTSD and alcoholism that came along with it. So.
Right. Yeah, self-medicating. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you were able to get out, but up until this incident occurred, your husband had been the sole caregiver for your child.
He was in school, so he would come home and my mom would watch her during the day until he came home, and then he was the one that watched her until I came home, which wasn't until 6 o'clock at night. So he was the breadwinner, and I saw her on the weekend. There he was, the not the breadwinner, but he was the primary parent pretty much, and so then I just have the weekends with her. But it was so it's different now.
Yeah. And how, so did you, when you had your daughter, did you have some maternity leave, some initial time for that?
I got 6 weeks. Okay. So that's really all I got. I got the minimum that you're really allowed to have with doctor's notice.
Right.
So I got, that's all I really had. And that was a totally different experience because she wasn't, I mean, the running around child that she was right now. So it was nice being at home, but you weren't missing as much in 6 weeks, except for, look, she learned how to nurse.
Right. So you got the initial bonding experience, mm-hmm. and then you went back to work and yeah. were not a primary caregiver anymore, which is an interesting dynamic for a lot of, you know, all of our single moms, they all have different unique circumstances yeah. is how they became single moms. Everybody's story is different though similar, right?
So yeah, exactly.
We all have whatever different circumstances that brought us to be single parents. Some were single, like for me, I was a single mom pretty much from the get-go for
yeah.
my children. And you know, there was an attempt to make something out of nothing, but it just ultimately it ultimately ended up being like, this is not going to work. It's for whatever reason. But even if I was still in a relationship with their dads, it still felt like I was still a single parent.
Yeah.
I wasn't married. They didn't live with me. It was, mm-hmm. you know, it was just sort of an attempt at making a relationship out of co-parenting, and it was, it was not workable.
I get it.
So that's mine. Some people are single moms from the get-go. Some are, you know, they come to it from divorce. Some are widowed. Some, you know, whatever. And at different ages of their children's lives.
Yeah.
So, you know, for you, though, it's not always common that... And so the reason that I kind of wanted to do this interview was because your circumstance is a little flipped. It's not the most common thing. That I swear I turned off the sound on my phone. I don't know why it's still on. Okay, there we go. It's not always common that the mom is the primary breadwinner mm-hmm. when you have a couple. It's a lot of times they're either shared, they both work, or yeah. predominantly if one parent's gonna stay home, it's usually the mom. It's not yeah. as often the dad. and I think that there was a statistic I saw that like 40% of all U.S. households, the mom is the main breadwinner. So it's not even. Yeah.
No.
It's not an even keel. So for you, you are now both the breadwinner and the primary caregiver.
Yeah.
And you said that it was a struggle for you because you had not had that experience
yeah.
where you were taking care of her all day. And so you had to adjust. How was
yeah,
that?
I really had no clue. And even now I still kind of feel like I don't know her schedule. And so to sit there and go, okay, well, when does she have her bottles in the morning? When does she have breakfast? The first weekend-ish when I took care of her, I was kind of a little bit longer than a weekend. And I remember sitting there going, when's her bedtime? And I was the person that put her down for bed in the first place, but everything seemed so out of ordinary. I didn't know when she woke up. I didn't know anything because I was the one that left at 7:15 in the morning and didn't come back till 6. Mm-hmm. So we're talking 11 hours of not knowing what my daughter's schedule was.
Right.
And so to sit there and be that person that was like, wait, what does she eat for lunch?
Right.
I don't know. What is she like? I guess on the weekends I took care of her, but a weekday she had a schedule. It wasn't the weekends. We did very random things, but she was supposed to keep a schedule during the weekdays. And I had no clue what that schedule was. I didn't know what to do.
Okay. Yeah. That's definitely difficult. I think that, I remember you said something about you actually were in tears when you went grocery shopping.
Yeah.
Because you just hadn't, you felt like you just didn't know what you were doing.
Yeah. I mean, I never did the grocery shopping because my husband would stay at home. So he did the grocery shopping and I went to work. And so the first time I went to the grocery store, I was like, wait, does she like grapes? Do I like, what do I get? What is the best product? What do we do? Like, I just was never the person that did that. And I remember calling up my mom in the middle of Walmart going, wait, what do I get for her? What does she eat? I don't know. Like, I mean, I guess on the weekends we kind of knew, but it was always a different schedule than during the weekdays. We didn't really sit down and have meals. We had like went out to eat meals. So I was like, what do I grocery shop for?
And even then, did you find that because he was a primary caregiver that he sort of defaulted to that role, even when you were there for the weekend? So it was sort of like, you know, so again, and I think about it, and I, and for a lot of people, like to me, that sounds so strange, right? Mm-hmm. Because it just, to me, I sit there and go, well, I can't imagine not knowing what my daughter's schedule is like, but yeah. I stop and I think about, I'm the primary caregiver for my daughter. And when trying to explain to her dad, you know, she has to keep a schedule. She needs to take a nap at this time. These are the types of foods you need to have. Like I did that for him. So mm-hmm. I think, you know, it just, I think we're so hardwired to automatically think it's the guy who's going to
be. And that's kind of where I am right now with the fact that I've had her for the last 2 months and he actually just got a custody agreement that he's going to have her on the weekend. And so now I'm the one going, okay, here's her schedule. Here's what she has going on. Right. And I'm like, wait, this is what I needed you to tell me 2 months ago.
Right. Where were you, man?
Yeah, yeah, for real. Like, could you, I need you to tell me this.
It helped me out a little bit. Yeah. And so it's amazing to me that, that's sort of just like how we're hardwired now. Yeah. I remember, it's so funny. You're telling me about your experience in the grocery store. And so I'm a child of the 80s. I grew up in the 80s. And mm-hmm. one of my absolute favorite movies of my lifetime was Three Men and a Baby. And I still remember, if you've never seen it, watch it.
I haven't.
Okay. See, now I feel extremely old. But... Okay, so Three Men and a Baby, it's got Tom Selleck in it when he was a lot younger, and Ted Danson, and I can't remember the other guy's name, and it's so bad that I can't remember it. It's like Michael something. Anyway, so basically what it boils down to is these three bachelors live together, and one of the bachelors leaves to go on like an acting shoot in Turkey or something, and after he leaves, somebody drops a baby on their doorstep, and it's the guy who left. It's his baby.
Yeah.
And his roommates are like stuck with this baby trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
Like a scene where he's in the grocery store and he's like, hey, I got to go get baby stuff because the baby needs to be fed. It's crying. I don't know what we're supposed to do, but we got to at least feed the kid. And all we have is like champagne and brie from we're like, they're bachelors. So
yes.
He goes to the grocery store and he's like, where's the baby aisle? And they're like, oh, it's three aisles down. And he runs down there and there's just like this giant aisle of baby stuff. He's like, yes. You gotta be kidding me. He's just,
yes.
He comes back with like 18 different bags of stuff. And his roommate was like, where have you been? He's like, you have no idea how much crap these kids need. He's like,
it's so true though.
And it's, so if you get a chance, just watch it. It's
yeah, I feel like I need to now.
Watching, and so, but that's kind of the mentality I have, is like, I kind of go back to that movie thinking, I remember watching these men in this movie just be completely clueless mm-hmm. about how to even change the diaper, and like they put on this diaper that's way too big, and he picks up the baby and the diaper falls off it. It's just, it's so funny. And you watch them just have to learn how to, like, a schedule and beat it. He's like, he calls up his friend and he goes, a female friend, his girlfriend. And he's like, he goes, look, I'm reading this book where it says I'm supposed to feed her every 2 hours, but he goes, it takes me 2 hours to get her to eat anything. So do I feed her from when I, 2 hours from when I start, or every 2 hours from when I finish? Cause I've been feeding her from every 2 hours from when I start, and I'm feeding her all the time. So
yes,
that's, and I remember thinking like, that's how we view it. And it's not always where it's the women who, you know, are in that predicament. So yeah, your situation is definitely unique. So in the past 3 months, I'm assuming it's definitely gotten better. And
definitely. Definitely a lot better.
You're like, I can go to the store now and I'm good.
I can tell you exactly what to get now.
Good. Now the next thing that I'm curious about is, as far as, because I've been the single mom who's been the primary caregiver mm-hmm. and breadwinner, being the primary caregiver, you, like you said, you really felt like, you know, yeah, you had those 6 weeks when you first had her, but then after that, you didn't have a ton of the bonding time that as a single mom, if you're the primary caregiver, you have, so how was that? Like, it's, because again, I only know from my perspective, and I think, gosh, you know, I'm not,
Like, I'm such a control freak. When my daughter went with her dad after we split up, I'm like, dude. And she literally was, that's how I met her dad. He lived across the street. Like, I knew he lived across the street. So she was literally just across the street. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't like this at all. Like, I don't like it. So for you, like, how did you find, because I know that, again, when men are the primary, it sort of emasculates them because they get, well, they sometimes they feel emasculated, like the mom's making all the money and I'm here taking care of the kid, and he gets that bonding experience, obviously, with the kids. But like, how was that for you, like, as far as that experience?
So a lot of my bonding experience ended up being when I would nurse her at 2 o'clock in the morning. That was the closest thing of bonding I could get, especially when she was so small. And so when I came home, she was normally asleep already.
Right.
And the next time she would wake up was when I was about to go to bed. So it was like, I never really got that play time with her. And like, that's my it was nursing when I did that. And then eventually my work actually ended up stressing me out so much that I couldn't nurse anymore.
Yeah.
And so I lost that. Luckily, at the time in which she wasn't going to bed until, say, 7 o'clock. So I would get home, but she would do something new. And I'd be like, oh, look at this. And my husband would be like, well, yeah, she's been doing that all day. And I was like, oh, well, thanks.
What's new to me?
Yeah. Like, everything was new to me. She said a word. She walked. She did anything. It was all new to me. And everybody that had watched her during the day, whether it be my mom or my husband, were both like, yeah, well, she's been doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like I never really, I missed a lot of her life. I feel like I missed like the first year. And even with this going on, luckily my mom has been a great trooper, and she FaceTimes me every time that Kaylee does something different, knowing that I've missed most of her life. But I don't have that bonding with her.
Yeah.
Because I do go to my 9 to 5, and then when I get home at 6 o'clock, 6:15-ish, and then she goes to bed at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
So I get an hour and a half with her to hopefully bond, but she's a almost two-year-old. So yeah, she's running around now and doesn't want to bond with mom anymore. She's done with mom.
I guess just to play with.
Right? Yeah, she's done.
Yeah. And see, that's so, and again, that's my unique experience of being a, you know, stay-at-home mom. I work from home, so I was able to have that. So, but when my boys were little, I didn't. You know, I missed a lot of their stuff too. So I can see it from both sides, but I felt the same way. I felt like, God, I feel like I'm being cheated, you know, out of this. And that's the hard part for a lot of us single moms when we have little ones, or even when they get bigger, because when they get bigger and they do cool stuff, you're still like, oh, I missed it, you know? But if you're working, you know, a 9 to 5 job or whatever work you're doing, you can feel like you're missing out on so much. But then I stop and I think about it. And it is a little different for us as single parents, but parents who are, you know, even not single parents, married couples and couples who both parents work, they have the same thing.
They miss it too.
And I think to myself, I'm like, man, because I've been working from home since my daughter was one. So I got all of those cool moments and I was able to do all of that. But then I stop and I think, and I'm like, yeah, a lot of the stuff that with my boys, I missed a lot of those things.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking like, oh, the daycare worker saw it, or the, you know,
that's like, what killed me. When my daughter got her first tooth, her preschool teacher found it.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, okay. But she sent me a picture right away. But she's like, she has her first tooth. And I was like, oh, man, I wish I could have found that. Now she's biting me. So.
Right.
I've learned.
You're like, it was cool for a minute.
Yeah. Now you have 13 teeth and it hurts. So.
Yeah. And you get cranky.
Yes.
So this is, I think, the balance that's so hard for us as moms to find. And then when we're single moms, it's even more hard or more difficult because of that. You know, I know personally that, like, for me, like, thinking about, you know, when I miss stuff or if I wasn't there for things, like, I feel really bad and guilty. So, like, is there a certain amount for you, you know, I just wonder how it changed the dynamic. Was it hard for you guys in your marriage when you were married, having that dynamic where he was at home in school and you were working and making the money, did that create, because I know that there's a lot of men out there, so like I was saying, that a lot of men feel really emasculated by the yeah. fact that they're not making money, mm-hmm. And they're not the ones taking care of, which again, it's, I personally have no preference one way or the other. I'm like, if you know, I feel whatever family dynamic works yeah. is what you should do. But again, the standard or the normal for the longest time has been the man works, the woman stays yeah. home. And now we're sort of kind of coming back to this nice balance, or at least getting close to maybe a balance. but I feel like there's still a lot of men who have a mentality where if they're not making the money, yeah. does it affect, you know, a relationship? So I'm a little curious as to that, just because
I do think that he really hated it, and he always said that, like, he hated that he wasn't working and stuff like that, and he tried to get a job over the summer to kind of fill in that, but then it was always like, well, is it going to be enough to pay for preschool, so that because she's gonna have to go to preschool, yep. and all this stuff. So it just turned into, it wasn't something we were possibly able to do, but he always wanted to try to provide more. And I mean, he had a retirement and GI Bill, so he was financially helping out without having right. to do anything. But it was, I definitely think that he sat there wondering, like, knowing that, of course, I don't like my job in the first place, my 9-to-5. Right. So he couldn't help me get out of my 9-to-5. And he's like not making, he's not going to work every day. He couldn't do anything.
Right. And so it made him
in yeah.
I can exactly. imagine that would cause a little bit of an internal struggle. And, you know, depending on the, you know, and obviously I don't know your husband, but, or your ex-husband, but I know a lot of men who, especially I grew up in a military family. Mm-hmm. So I know a lot of like military men, it's, you know, you go into that line of work yes. and that calling because you have a fierce need to protect.
Exactly.
That's you know, for the majority of them, you know, obviously there's people who go for college or whatever, but for the majority, the people who really truly believe in that, and they're answering a calling, and it's a yeah. protecting.
And that's the same thing. My family, I grew up in a military family. My dad actually told my husband on our wedding day, he was like, well, you need to protect her. You need to take care of her. And so then I'm over here being the one that's taking care of the family.
Right. And I can imagine that would be a huge
yeah.
like, self-esteem hit for somebody who in their brain is, I need to protect and I'm not doing it. So I can mm-hmm, only imagine exactly. that probably added to whatever issue
oh, I'm sure.
had going on.
I'm sure it did.
Again, it does not excuse any of the issues. It doesn't excuse domestic violence, no, but it's, you know, there's so many different aspects of just us as people mm-hmm. and parents, and that I think there's just so many different things to consider when it comes yeah. to all of this. And again, it's the mentality of what we've been so hardwired to believe, yeah. you know, as far as just like with moms, you know. So for example, I know that there are probably a ton of moms, if you were to go out there and people were to listen to just a portion of your story, not the whole mm-hmm. thing, but if they were to see, like if you posted something on social media that says, you know, I just had a breakdown in the middle of the store because I don't know what to buy my daughter for food, because I can honestly see a lot of women and moms being like yeah. very judgmental of like, what do you mean? How can you possibly yeah. not know?
Right? Exactly. Like,
how is that even possible? Because we're mm-hmm. hardwired to stop and think you should know that.
Yeah.
You should be the mom. You know, even if you are working, you're still the primary caregiver. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Right? You're the mom. But that's not
how you're supposed to have a nurturing bone in your body, is what I always hear. Like, everybody's like, well, you're the mom. You should be nurturing. And I'm like, no, but like, I haven't had to be.
Right.
I haven't had to do that. I've never been that person.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the thing. Not everybody is the same. And again, yeah, you're right. There's a lot of people who would be like, oh, you have to, you know, you're not nurturing. You're not this, you're not
yeah.
that. And I find that we as women, as you know, and I try and really, really emphasize this and just put it out there of, you know, we already have enough people working to kind of keep us in our place. Yes. Like the last thing we need is to be bringing each other down.
Mm-hmm.
Women and moms, we're already all struggling, especially yeah. moms. And I've been in several like single mom groups and stuff like that on Facebook and places like that, where I will see somebody post something and then it's just a like just an attack. Like they are attacked. And I think to myself, I'm like, man, like I, you know, short of you saying I beat my kid, like, you know what I mean? Like I, you know,
your kid is alive. Good. You're good. You did it.
Any reason why people would be like, what's wrong with you? You know what I mean? Like, oh,
yeah.
You know, I see so much like people like, to, you know, use cloth diapers or regular diapers or, vegan or non-vegan or.
And the vaccine thing.
The vaccine. And I have a strong belief system for me as far as vaccines and just, I have my own thing, but yes, that causes a lot of drama and judgment too. My only concern is I don't care what you choose to do with your kid as long as it doesn't hurt my kid. Now,
yeah, exactly.
If your kid's going to get the measles and then give it to my kid, then I'm
going to have some issues. Exactly.
But other than that, like, I'm not telling you you can't raise your kid vegan. I'm not telling you you can't raise your kid a vegetarian. I'm not telling
Especially as single moms, we're at the point where we're like, is your kid alive? I'm glad you did it.
And I think I actually did one of my, I think my last podcast where I was like talking and I was like, you know, there are many, many times where I remember like literally having that thought process long time ago before I had kids of seeing a woman in the middle of the aisle where her child was having a meltdown. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe that mom's just letting her kid act like that. What's wrong with that kid? Why would she do that? Blah, blah. Like, I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember babysitting my cousins and all they would eat was mac and cheese, Chef Boyardee, and drink Kool-Aid. Like that was it. And maybe like a peanut butter jelly sandwich. That was all these kids would eat. And I remember saying, oh, I can't believe that this, when I have kids, my kids are never going to do this. They're going to eat regular food.
Yes.
I went through, my son went through a phase where if it wasn't on two pieces of bread, he wasn't eating it ever.
Yes. So like, I did the same thing with kids misbehaving at restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And then we took my daughter out to an Italian restaurant and she threw the pasta at everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was that parent.
Yeah. And, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, and now having a special needs kid, the same thing. I'm like, I don't know what that kid's story is. I don't know if that kid is, you know, having a breakdown or whatever, but, may have lost you. Did I lose you?
Oh, there you are.
I'm like, she was stuck for a second. You know, so again, we as moms, we tend, unfortunately, there's a large number of us who like, we're just waiting to like shame you.
Yes.
Into thinking, oh, you're not doing a good job. So when it comes back to this nurturing thing of where you said, you're like, I wasn't the one who did it. So it's foreign to me. It's not necessarily, you know, and not everybody is built like that. Right? Like not everybody has that emotional capacity. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like my daughter, I love my daughter more than anything, but she's almost 12. She's doing she's doing the pre-tween thing.
Yes.
And she's just a bunch of hormones. And I find myself talking to my father on a regular basis because my dad raised me from when I was 8 until I was grown. And I was like, I call him and I'm like, I don't remember crying this much. Did I cry this much? Because I don't remember doing this. Was I this emotional? And he's like, sometimes. And he laughs.
Yeah.
He laughs hysterically at me. I'm like, shut up. You're not helping.
My parents do the same thing.
Yeah. And you know, he's like, it's just funny. He's like, I remember you coming in and being all attitude and mouthy. And I'm like, okay. Like, I'm sorry about that. But like my daughter half the time she'll start. So like when I found out I was having twin boys, I was psyched because I was such a tomboy and I'm still a tomboy. I'm good with boys.
Mm-hmm.
Girls, I recognize that I cry at times for no reason. I recognize that.
Yes.
I don't know how to handle it when my daughter does it.
It makes you sad. I don't understand it.
No, it does make me sad or it makes me really frustrated because I'm like, I don't understand why you're crying right now. She's like, I don't either. I'm like, okay, I don't know what to do with this. I want to help. It's not that I'm not nurturing. I'm more solution.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Like, I'm like, what's the problem? How
problem solver.
Yes.
I'm the same way.
So not everybody is the same where they can just go, woo, 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 it's okay. Like, and just, I'm the person, I'm like, what do we need to fix? Whose butt do I need to kick? Like, what are we doing? That's where I'm at. I need a problem to solve. So, but there are so many who, would look at your situation and go, well, I can't believe that you just don't have that. Right.
You should have seen the looks I was getting in Walmart as I'm calling my mom going, does she like pineapple? Can I give her pineapple? And people are looking at me like they thought I was talking about a dog. Like, can I give the dog pineapple? No, I'm talking about my child. I just don't know what I can give her.
Right. And you know, and it stands to reason. And like I said, a lot of people would potentially look at that and go, how can you not know? Well, because I'm not the one who was doing it.
Yeah.
I'm not the one. So to me, you know, so again, we just got to sort of flip it in our brains and go, if it was the dad, there would
be- You would not think anything of it.
They would not think anything of it. And there would be women lining up to be like, it's okay, honey. We'll help
you. Let me pick out the food for you.
Yes. Let me help you. Let me explain to you. Let me walk you through this. And there would be no judgment. In fact, they would probably be praising him.
For being in the grocery store, grocery shopping.
Exactly. And that bugs the living bejesus out of me. Yes. So like when I heard your story, I'm thinking about going, okay, that's a different dynamic, or it's not the most common dynamic.
Yeah.
But that's, and it brings it all the way back around to when we see men, like I saw something somewhere, it was either a blog post or a Facebook meme or something out there in the ethernet of why do we give a standing ovation to dads for doing the things that moms do all the
every
time?
Every day.
Mm-hmm. Why is it that dynamic?
Exactly.
Because it's just, you know, if a mom is unsure how to raise her child or unsure how to comfort her child or unsure what her child eats, mm-hmm. she's not the one who normally does it because she's working a 9-to-5 job. Yeah. Working 12 to 14 hours a day to provide for her family. She's not that caregiver. Why would we look at her with disdain?
Yeah. You know? That's so, like when I came back from my job, everybody was like congratulating me for coming back and they were totally thought I was going to stay at home. And I was like, if a guy came back, you'd expect him to come back.
Right. Or like, you wouldn't even give him the time off.
My child and quit my job. Like,
yeah,
it was so weird.
Yeah.
Like, thank you for congratulating for me for coming back to the one thing I have to do.
Right. I have to pay the bills. I'm not
sure. Yeah.
If everything was free, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah, I definitely would not be here.
I would not be here. Right. If there was some other way for me to stay home and take care of my child, that's what I would be choosing to
do. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but yeah, it does, again, it brings up that dynamic where I get so frustrated where I say, it was like, oh, you know, and I gave mad props to one dad who he was showing something of him doing his daughter's hair. It was like, oh, what a good dad, blah, blah, blah. He's like, please do not give me extra credit for this. It's just something
that
needed to be done. Mm-hmm. It's not special.
Yeah.
And if you think it's special, it shouldn't be. It mm-hmm. should be just the normal thing of... Mm-hmm. My daughter needed her hair done. I learned how to do her hair.
Yeah.
Moms do it constantly.
Yeah.
Right. So, that's why I thought your dynamic was so cool because it was just like, and not cool in the aspect of, you know, you're learning, but, in your experience,
but it's different. A lot
of it's different. It's good to talk about these types of mm-hmm. dynamics because it helps our understanding. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and for you, and that's the thing. So for you, was there like, you know, you probably had all of the, and that's what I wonder too. We as moms, when you went back to work, you're like, oh, everybody's congratulating me.
Yeah.
Do you feel guilty?
Oh, definitely.
Right? Definitely.
I was always, even like when I pumped in at work, I had three different lunch breaks or three different breaks to be able to nurse at work. And I felt so bad to be sitting nursing at work when I could have been at home with my daughter. I felt so bad being at the desk. And if there was a day I actually enjoyed at work, I was like, man, why am I not at home with my child?
Right.
Like, I shouldn't be enjoying this. I should be miserable because I should be at home with my child.
Right.
Like, you just, and not to mention the fact that in the most, I work in a very men-friendly work style, even though it's mostly female, the men there all look at you like you're crazy. Our CEO actually avoided me in the hallway when I was pregnant. He wouldn't come near me.
Why?
you're not supposed to be a woman in the workplace that's pregnant. Like, his mindset, he's 70 years old. That was his mindset.
Oh, yeah, you're supposed to be at home.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be at home. And it was so awkward. He would give you a gift for the baby shower but not show up at the baby shower because men aren't supposed to be there.
Right.
Like, that's his mindset. And so me nursing and I was like, why am I not home with my child? Because these people at my workplace are making me feel like I should be at home with my child. They're congratulating me for not being at home with my child. So now I just want to be at home.
Right. Yeah. And that's the crazy part, is it's just that strange social dynamic. And it doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Where, like, I get that it was like that for a really long time, but it's been pretty, you know,
It's been a while. Yeah.
It's been a while. Why is this so still, like, hardwired into our existence of it's just different?
Yeah.
Mom is the one who's not, because a guy, half the time guys don't even get maternity leave or paternity leave. And when they do, it's awesome. Right. And I think they should. I think it's great that that's starting to become a norm.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the assumption? Because then there's that other assumption. The assumption is that the man doesn't need time to go at home and bond with its child because the mom is there. That's not really true. Right.
No.
So there's that other dynamic that should be flipped on its end, you know, but like to sit there and think, okay, the mom's weird because she doesn't bond with her kid. The dad, we're going to give him extra credit for staying home and being such a good dad, taking care of his child.
Yeah.
Is bizarre to me.
Yeah.
It's bizarre to me. And again, like we said, in the grocery store, there would have been women just lining up to help your ex.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
And it's so funny that they give them kudos for that kind of stuff. But then in the court system, the moms usually very rarely will have the kid taken away from them.
Right.
And you're sitting there going, but shouldn't it be a good thing that the father has the kid too?
Right, right. And again, it just kind of, and that dynamic is different too. You know, because
yeah.
I've actually seen, there's actually a show that's coming on TV now that I saw like a pre-ad for, of men who are not getting, they're not getting custody of their children. And it's, and I was looking at that going, okay, that's interesting. But automatically my default was, well,
why not?
Maybe they shouldn't have.
Yeah.
You know, that's like the first thing in my head, but that's also because of my experience. Like if my ex came and said, hey, I want primary custody, I'm like, I would be like, you're out.
Yeah, I laughed at my husband. You're out
of you're out of your mind. That's not happening.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, despite many, many things that, and those are conversations that he and I have had, because there's been a lot of things that have happened on his end where I literally tell him, he's like, well, you know, I'll take you to court. And I'm like, honey, you will lose. And you will lose bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you want to take me to court, that's fine, but you'll lose bad, like badly.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where you will more than likely lose full custody. Like I will end up with full custody of our daughter.
Yeah.
So, you know, you need to understand that because of all of the, you know, you've got a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there are some dads, you know, and that's the whole stereotypical. It's so hard because I put my experience when I start, we view everything through our own experience, right?
Yes. That's
through our lens of our experience. So when I see that, when they're like, oh, the dads and we're getting, you know, we're not getting custody and blah, blah, blah. My initial instant reaction was, well, maybe there's a reason.
Reason for that.
Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a reason. And there could be, but they also could be a good dad who, because unfortunately there are a lot of women out there who, to whatever circumstances, the husband cheated or a bitter divorce, and there are women out there who will use their children as a weapon.
Yeah.
And that sucks and it's sad, but it is very true. And it would be a lie if I said that that didn't happen, because it does.
Oh,
it
totally happens.
You know, it's not that it happens all the time and it's not true in every case, but there are definitely many, many good fathers out there who deserve to have more time with their children and unfortunately end up getting screwed.
Yeah.
Right? Because the courts do side with the mother. Now it should, I think, again, it's another where that dynamic just hasn't fully shifted.
Yeah. Right?
where it's happening more and more so that courts are like, no, the dad has equal say. It's not just the mom is always right and the mom is always the caregiver and the mom is this. The dad also has that equal standing. But it's not all the time and it's not guaranteed.
And
that's my ex's stand. He says it all the time. He's like, Colorado's a 50-50 state. I'm like, yes, it is, but I don't think you fully understand what that means. Just because it is a 50-50 state doesn't mean you're guaranteed 50-50.
And that's the thing. It's like North Carolina is a 50-50 state where I am too. It's totally a 50-50 state. But the thing is that it's 50-50 in favor of the mother.
In favor of the mother.
Mm-hmm. So it's only, if you could be 50-50 all you want, but they still give you, they still have to give somebody primary. And the mom's going to be primary.
The thing is, you know, for your situation, had there not been the domestic issue, and if it had just been a normal
regular divorce,
in honest, all reality, he should have been the primary caregiver based on
the dynamic that we have.
And that's just not something you see. You know, it even sounds weird coming out of my mouth. Like
it feels weird just knowing that, like, if there wasn't this issue, he would probably have her. I mean, the custody agreement we came up with, he only has her 10 days out of the month. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, that would have been me.
Yeah.
I would have gotten her 10 days out of the month because I need to work all day. So what's the point of me having her during the week?
Exactly. And I would be, we'd be paying for daycare and this and that. Yeah. And I look at my situation with my daughter's dad, I would, of course, obviously been given primary caregiver because I work from home.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I was always like, please feel free to take me to court because the court's going to look at it and go,
well, she does it. So
yeah, she's at home all day with her kids. Mm-hmm. She can be there to pick up, drop off, get them when they're sick, take them to all the doctor's appointments. I do all you of can, that already. Yeah.
Exactly.
Because I have that flexibility. So changing that dynamic would just be, why would we change that in order and end up paying for childcare, which I would not do it. I would not pay for childcare. If you want her, you know, because at one point.
If you need to be, why do it?
Yeah. At one point he said, well, I want a week on, week off. And I said, well, when she was younger, I said, absolutely not, because it's I'm not willing to do that. But as she got older, I said, you know, I've told her many times, if you want to do week on, week off,
You decide.
And she's like, no, don't wanna. But at some point that may change. But, you know, when he said, well, I want to do week on, week off, I said, okay, so then if we do that, then you do realize that you have to pay for childcare.
Yeah.
He's like, well, why would I do that? Why can't she just come to you? Well, then why would
That's not how this works. Yeah.
That's it. I'm not a babysitter. I'm mom.
So yeah, exactly.
I have cousins. I'm not your childcare. That's not how that's going to work. If you have her week on, week off, then you take on the responsibility of that week.
Exactly. That's kind of what we had to deal with too, with ours, because he wanted originally 50-50. And the way that North Carolina does 50-50, it's 3 days and 4 days rather than a week on and week off.
Right.
So you do like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday with the other parent. And then the next week would be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Right. And then Friday, Saturday,
Sunday. With the other parents. So you switch and it's 3 and 4s. Mm-hmm. But then I thought, okay, well, you're in school because he's in class from Monday to Thursday. So who's going to watch her? She'd have to go to daycare. Because right now, Monday through Thursday, she goes to daycare Thursday and Friday just because we want to socialize her.
Right.
But the other days, she's with my mom. And my mom's not going to let him just drop her off and pick her up from her house. Like, that's not going to happen.
Right.
So it was like, no.
And that's that switch in dynamic, too, is that the change of responsibility, where it's funny because my ex, when anytime we talk about stuff like that, it's this, you know, when he has her every other weekend now, or he has her, and he's like, well, you know, she's not feeling good. So I'm just going to bring her to your house and I'll pick her up later. I'm like, oh no.
No. Like, why are
you stay home from work?
Yeah.
He's like, well, no. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not your default. Like, if you have her, you have her.
Exactly.
If she has a doctor's appointment on your day, you take her.
Mm-hmm.
If she's sick, you stay home with her, or your wife does. Somehow you figure out a way to make that work.
Exactly.
And so he had to kind of make that switch too. He's like, well, but that, I don't understand why, if you're home, why does it, because it's not my day.
Yeah.
When you have her, you take on full parenting responsibility. And that includes if she's ill, if she needs to be picked up from school early, you're the one that gets the call, bud. You're the one that got to go get her. Not me. You know?
Yeah. When
you decided you wanted more time, where you had her Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday on your weekends, or I'm sorry, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, that Friday and that Monday, you're responsible for carpool.
Yes.
Well, what? Yeah. You do carpool, not me.
Yeah.
It's not my day. So it's, again, still that's that shift where in his brain, it was automatic of, well, you'll just take care of everything because that's what you have always done.
So, and it's funny because I'm the one having that shift now.
Yeah.
So because I wasn't the one that took her to her doctor's appointments. He was.
Yeah.
If she got sick, I mean, yeah, sometimes I would stay home depending on how sick she was, but normally it was like, okay, well, you got it.
Yeah.
And so like when my parents went out of town for their anniversary and he was supposed to watch her, but I had to take the day off. I had to go home. I had to stay home because she wasn't supposed to go to preschool that day and he wasn't there. So it's like, now I'm the one having that switch.
Right. And it's different, right? Like it's a different mentality. And I've had to be really, well, I'm not always good at it, but I've tried to be patient with him and just like, I'm like, I understand that you don't get this, but this is how it works.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, well, it's just really inconvenient. Yes. Welcome to being a parent.
Parent.
You've got another 6 years plus of this because it's not always convenient.
I can't
tell you when my boys, because they're special needs, when they were younger, I lost multiple jobs. Mm-hmm. I had to leave work early so often or come in late or miss.
Yeah, especially with your situation. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, it's not convenient. It causes problems. It's
parenting.
It's parenting. Right. And it's just crazy how it's for the majority of people, it's always the mom who's just supposed to be the one picking up all that slack.
Yeah.
Right. And the dad's like, no, no. And again, it is shifting. It is changing. But for a lot of us who are single parents, again, certain dynamics, you're moving into a new dynamic where he's going to have, you know, 10 days out of the month.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to change your dynamic a little bit. But for some, there's nobody. There's nobody else.
Exactly.
You know?
So, and that's the thing is, even with the 10 days, I'm sitting here going, wait, like, what am I supposed to do during my free time?
Oh my God.
Because I've had 3 months of...
Yeah.
I've had 3 months of, I don't have free time. What is free time? I can hear my toddler running around downstairs with my parents and I'm going,
yeah.
Oh, I'm having free time right now. What's going to the bathroom by yourself? What's that?
I can't tell you how often, like when we finally got to a point where he would have her and I would, my boys were okay to be left alone. Like, I'm like, I'm going to go do stuff by myself.
Yeah.
And I went and I was like, I really don't know what to do.
Yeah.
My kids would be out when they go back to school. And I'm like, in the middle of the day, I'm like, oh, I have free time. I still don't know what to do with myself. Yeah. I'm like, I should be, I'll work. I mean, maybe watch some TV, but that's about it. Like, I do a lot of things. But
I told my mom, I was like, I'm going to have a momcation because I'm going to have a whole weekend to myself. And then I was like, but what am I going to do after that?
Mm-hmm.
The other weekends. I mean, I have plans for the first weekend, but I can't do that every weekend.
Yeah. I went to Vegas for my 40th birthday, and I swear, I went by myself because I was just like, I'll just go. And I enjoyed the spa more than anything else. I've decided I'm just not a Vegas person, but I enjoyed the spa. But I literally, there was one whole day where I just stayed in the hotel room. I ordered room service. Like, that's all I did. I'm like,
so looking forward to that.
I'm like, this is awesome. But then at the same time, I'm like, I should be doing something.
Yeah.
That's
my whole thing is like, I go to my 9-to-5 and then I come home and watch my daughter. And then I have my own business that I run too.
Yeah.
So then I don't do things.
Like, for myself.
I don't watch TV. I don't know what that is.
Yep.
So I remember the first weekend that he had her, he has her right now from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturdays. And I remember sitting there going, I don't like it. It's too quiet.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't like this.
Yeah. I run into the same problem when I shop. Like, my parents will send me money for Christmas.
Yeah.
And I'll go shopping and try and buy stuff for myself. And I'm like, I take it off the shelf and then I put it back. I'm like, yeah. I have a really hard time shopping for myself. Unless it's like for craft stuff. Like, I love craft.
Oh, yeah. Stuff. Oh, yeah.
Me I too. Can buy craft stuff. Like,
mine's office supplies.
Yeah. There. Yeah. I can do that too. Office supplies and craft supplies. Mm-hmm. I can buy anytime.
Yeah.
But anything else, I'm like, oh, they're like, well, go buy some nice jewelry or get yourself some. And I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, and then I put it back.
And then you almost feel guilty for doing it too, because the money could be spent on your kids.
Exactly.
As a single parent, now you're a single income.
I tell my kid and my family all the time, I'm like, any money that you send me is going to be spent on them for Christmas. Yeah. And my dad's like, what did you get yourself? I'm like, nothing. I say, here's what you need to understand. Income tax time. That's my Christmas. Income tax refund is my Christmas. 90% of it goes to catching up on bills or some big elaborate purchase for the family. Like a couple years back, I used it to finish paying for a cruise. We went on a Disney cruise. So, yes.
I want to do it so bad.
I highly recommend it. I cannot express to you how wonderful a Disney cruise is. It's pricey, but it's super worth it. It's about half as expensive if you go in the off season. We went in September, so it's like half price, but it's still beautiful. The Bahamas was so beautiful. It wasn't like sweltering hot. It was gorgeous. It was clear. It was so nice.
I'm so jealous right now.
Oh my gosh, it was so nice.
I'm hugely jealous.
Oh, you don't even know. It is the best thing from the second we stepped on. I swear to you, we stepped on that boat and I was like instantly like 8 years old. I'm like,
like the commercials where they show all the kids the same age. The parents are now the same age as the kids.
Oh yeah. It's true. Yes. It's true. I swear. And it is a wonderful experience from start to finish for a boat that is wall to wall snot-nosed kids. It is immaculately clean.
Oh, good.
The service is spectacular. The weight, the food is amazing.
Amazing. Oh, I could expect nothing less.
It's perfection from start to finish. If there was the only thing that I could possibly complain about is the elevators are ridiculously slow. It's hard because there's a lot of people trying to cram in and out of.
I can see that. Yeah.
But there's stairs. So if you're okay with stairs, stairs it is. We took the stairs down all the time. Up, not so much.
Yeah.
Down, I'm the same way. No problem. But like Broadway style musical performances on the boat. I got to watch a Raiders Broncos game in the middle of the ocean on a big screen.
Like, yeah. It
was wonderful. And we won. The Broncos won, so it was even better. And then,
I was about to say, you better not be a Raiders fan. We're going to have issues.
I'm not good. At all.
I'm a Chiefs fan, so.
Oh, well, you guys are doing good.
Yeah, I know.
yeah, you guys are doing good. But, of course, you know, division rivals. So I'm like, I keep rooting for us to lose. Sorry.
That's
like,
okay.
Because that's really our only shot at this point. But, so. But then, and there's like, it's one of the, it is, as far as I know, the only cruise ship that is allowed, they shoot fireworks off the boat in the middle of the ocean. It's so cool. Best trip I ever had.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
I tell people all the time, they have specials all the time. There's a little place where your daughter could play. She would play with Moana and play with you know, all the Disney characters. She would play with Tinkerbell and Lilo and Stitch and Minnie Mouse, and she would have so much fun. My kids, I had to drag them out of the areas. Sure.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun. And I can't even express how amazing it was. We had so much fun. So I recommend it. I'm like, literally, we weren't even off the boat, and I was trying to plan when we could do it again. It was so good.
Now I'm sitting here going, okay, so when can I make that much money in my business?
Right. Well, and here's the thing. It's like, the best part is you can book it in advance and you only have to come up with so much down.
Yeah.
And then you have to have it paid off 2 months before the cruise date. Mm-hmm. So if you were to schedule something out, and that's what I did, I booked it in advance and they had like a really good special going on where the kids like got, like, it was like two of them got 75% off of their ticket or something that. It was a really good special. I can't remember what it was, but and then it was, so all of us, there was me, my cousin, my kids, because I didn't want to do it my first time by myself.
I wouldn't either.
I'm like, somebody's gonna come with me just in case.
Yeah, I'd be taking mom.
Now I can do it. I'm like, yeah, because my boys, they And they're still, to this day, at 18 years old, teenage boys, grown men boys, they're like, we would go on another Disney cruise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They would totally be down for it.
My honeymoon was to Disney World, so yeah. I'd be up for it.
Yeah. And it's just, it's super amazing. But I think it was like $4,500 for all five of us to go.
That's not bad.
No, not bad at all.
I think I spent more than that just to go on my honeymoon, just me and my husband.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And it was a four-day, three-night cruise. It wasn't a long one because I figured, like, I wanted to test it out.
Yeah.
Since we've all never been.
I mean, I wouldn't do long either. So.
Now I would. But before, yeah. I'm like, I want to test it out because I don't know if any of us are going to get seasick. And if we do, I want the trip to be as short as possible.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Just shorten the misery. But we all did great. And it
That's
was
great.
So now I would live on that cruise ship if I could.
Yeah.
So much fun. But yeah. And so I booked it. And I put down, and it was like, I only had to put down like $150 or something.
No, that's not bad.
And then I had several months to make payments on it.
Yeah.
And then the final payment I made when I got my income tax refund.
Which is great.
Remainder off. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was what we did.
That's cheap.
So yeah, it's an amazing, amazing adventure. So I highly recommend it all the time to everybody. Anybody. I'm like, I don't care how old you are. We saw people that didn't have kids. We saw elderly couples.
I wouldn't. I'd
elderly couples. They were the cutest thing ever.
I bet they were.
Just, oh, I was like,
they're already adorable. So.
They're so cute. The lady was wearing her little ears. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I love you. They were so cute.
Like, that's me in my future.
I already told my kids, when you're old enough, I told my daughter, when you're old enough and you graduate and you move away or whatever, I'm traveling by myself. She's like, what? Yes, you can come with me on one, but I'm going to go on a lot of trips. I'm going to go by myself.
That's what my parents are doing. Anybody. Yes, that's what my parents did until my mom became we call her the daddy of the situation right now. She's my husband or my wife, however you want to say it now.
There you go.
They were traveling a lot. And then I'm like, yeah, you can't go anywhere. I need you.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to be a single mom. So I'm going to have my mom as my other wife.
Well, and here's the thing, and I think that's a good way for us to sort of kind of, I'll probably edit out the whole part about the cruise, but I think that gives us a good, you know, segue out of, you know, nobody, there's very few people in the world who started out wanting to be a single parent.
Yeah.
It's not something to think about or desire or.
But you don't imagine a white picket fence with just you and your kids.
Right. I mean, I do now. But back then, it wasn't what I thought about when I was 17, 19, 20 years old. You know, when I found out I was pregnant with my boys and I had them at 23, I still wasn't thinking about it. I just figured that's what was going to be. You know,
exactly.
It wasn't that was my plan. It was just, this is what I'm,
this is my new future.
This is my new norm. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's all that this is just adjusting to a new norm. And everybody, I think, has to be able to step back and realize that everybody's normal is different. Right? Everybody's normal is different. So your normal used to be, quote unquote, the dad role, right?
Yeah.
Used to be the dad role.
Yeah.
And then your circumstances changed and now you adjust to a new norm. And I think that's as single parents, that's what we're constantly doing.
Yes. That's
all we do. This is our new norm. Okay. I'm still the breadwinner, but I'm also the primary caregiver.
Yeah.
I've got to adjust to a new norm. Right.
Yeah.
And to do so with as little judgment as possible would be awesome.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially because you're exhausted and you're having to do it all by yourself.
Well, and here's the other thing too, is there's no critic out there that is worse than us.
No.
We're harder on ourselves. So I guarantee, like, I can only imagine just trying to see it from your perspective of, okay, I'm having a child and I only get 6 weeks of maternity leave. So now I feel guilty going back to work, but I also really want to go back to work.
Yeah.
So I feel guilty also for not feeling guilty, but I also feel guilty for missing out with my kid.
Mm-hmm.
Then I also feel guilty because I'm the primary breadwinner and it puts my husband in a situation where he feels, you know,
emasculated. Yeah.
Right. And I feel guilty for that, even though I shouldn't feel guilty for that.
Yeah. No.
It's not like I'm purposely trying to upset anybody, you know, and then the situation changes and you leave and you do what was best for you and your daughter. And now you feel guilty because you weren't that primary caregiver, mm-hmm. and you don't know what you don't know.
Right? You feel even more guilty about the things you did before, because now you're right. realizing how much you really missed out and how much you really don't know.
Yes. And then on top of that, the potential judgment, because you sort of can feel it, right? Like, you can almost feel it when people are just looking at you and you're like, you're looking at me and you're judging me and you're trying to, you know? And so then there's that. And then, you know, just, yeah. And then just the feeling of guilt you already have being a single parent. And I know a ton of people who feel that. I know a ton of people who struggle with guilt when it comes to being a single parent. Yeah. And I don't, unfortunately, like, not even unfortunately. It's not really unfortunately. I don't feel bad for not feeling guilty about this thing. And I've done I did a podcast about it before, where someone actually posted something and it kind of got me all riled up, because they said something about nobody really wants to be a single mom. They would prefer to be in a relationship. And I'm like, no, I'm good being, I prefer to be a single mom. It's not what I intended, but in all honesty, when I've tried to do something other than being a single mom, I fail miserably at it. I'm bad at it. I have horrible taste in men. It's just a better idea for me to stay by myself. And I do better alone.
That's kind of where I'm at right now. And I don't know if that'll change, but right now I'm kind of like, you know, this is all working out just fine.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't want to do it.
Yeah. And it might change for you. It might change for me too.
Yeah. But,
you know, I tell people all the time, they're like, well, you know, do you ever think about, you know, the potential of ever being with somebody? I'm like, it would have to be a really damn good person. Like, it would take a lot.
It would have to be that Hallmark style perfect man.
It would. And in all honesty, I don't think I'd know what to do with that man if it came across him. I'd be like,
are you sure?
Yeah, like, no, something's not right. I don't think I'd know.
Yeah.
No.
And like, I feel like I'm going to end up being sketchy of just anybody that comes up. So I'm going to be like, well,
yeah,
he was perfect once before too. Did that, done that.
Right. And mine isn't necessarily where mine is just a real good, I've got a real good self-knowledge.
Yeah.
And I acknowledge that I have a really low bullshit tolerance, and I acknowledge that
You don't need it.
Yeah. I don't like people that much a lot of the time. And I have I think it's just because I just don't have the time or energy. So it may change for me when I get older and the kids are out and I don't have to worry about the kids anymore, because then I can just be like, okay, now I have the time and the mind space to devote to somebody else. Right now, I have only enough to devote to me and my three children and making sure they stay alive. That's my job.
Yeah.
I don't have the energy or mental capacity to deal with anything else or to add another element into that world.
Nobody has time for that.
Right. And so I'm okay with that. But I've never felt guilty about being a single mom.
Yeah.
I've never felt guilt. But again, I think it's because I came from a point where I was always gonna be a single mom.
I get it.
Whereas other people started out in a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's different.
Yeah.
You didn't intend to be a single mom. Mm-hmm. You didn't think you were gonna be a single mom. And so now there's guilt around that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so I think that just being able to stop and recognize all of those different elements and all of those different aspects, not just in other moms, but also in ourselves, is really helpful. And I think that that helps balance out what we view to be the norm.
Yeah. Like
what's okay and what's not okay. It's as long as it works for you, that's what should be happening. And mm-hmm. so I'm really, really glad that you're coming to a point, and it'll just keep getting better.
Right? Yeah.
Where you'll start, you know, the relationship with your daughter is going to change and it's going to get better and you're going to have that more connection. And like, do you feel now after the last 3 months?
Oh, definitely.
So much.
Definitely.
You're still working.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's still lots of time, but I definitely feel like I don't miss anything. I don't feel like I miss it anymore. I mean, I'm still going to work. I'm still coming home, but there's nobody else to do everything else that I have to do. So I've learned her schedule.
Right.
Now I'm like on the phone with my mom going, hey, by the way, it's bottle time. Like, I know.
Right.
So it's definitely a totally different situation, but I feel like I know her more just because I know her schedule. I know what she's doing.
Yes. And that makes, and then you feel more present, right? Right.
Definitely.
That's awesome. Well, that is very cool. And I'm glad that that's helping for you. And I really, really want to thank you for coming on and talking with me about this, because it's, like I said, it definitely touches on a subject that is not always thought about.
No. Right?
And how the roles of men and women when it comes to parenting, just still, even in this day, 2018, we're still struggling with some of those just societal norms that everybody's like, oh, it should be this way. And if it's not this way, then we got to, you know, something's wrong, or it's not the right way, or it should be looked at differently. And it's just, you know, I think we are all working towards getting to a point where we all evolve into a better way of thinking. And I think it makes us better parents too, because then we're more accepting and dealing with the other person, the other parent, our children, other parents, the way they parent their children, and things like that.
You no longer look at the person in the grocery store with the kid having a meltdown.
Exactly. You just walk up and be like, can I help you, hon? Like,
yeah.
Are you okay?
Take care of that. Why don't I do your grocery shopping for you?
Right. Like, you know, we got this. It's okay. You know, I would love for women to help other women out like that, than they would help a man who was struggling, right? He wouldn't be crying, but he'd be just looking lost in the middle of baby aisle, like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, exactly.
I want women to be like, you good? Do you need something?
Yeah.
So I think we're working towards that, but it's definitely, you know, people who go through experiences like you have who are helping sort of bring about that change in that mentality. Mm-hmm. So always like to kind of bring that to the forefront to say, hey, not everybody's situation is the same. Not every mom comes, you know, baby comes out of the womb and the mom's just there and got it. And, you know,
all the time,
all the time. Sometimes it's different, you know, and it takes some moms a while, and you know, that's not what their experience is. So
exactly.
So, well, thank you so much, Rachel, for coming on with me. I really, really appreciate you taking the time with me.
And thank you for having me.
Of course. I'm glad you could join me. And it was an absolute pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And go give love to your little one. I'll let you know. Thanks for joining me today for the Single Mom Success Podcast. I hope that you enjoyed it and that you found it inspirational in some way. Don't forget to visit thesinglemomblog.com for more of our podcasts, articles, downloads, and free giveaways. I hope that you have a fantastic day, and never forget that you are amazing.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.